I'm Arun Venugopal, in for Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. On Monday, an explosive report from ProPublica started to shake up the immigration enforcement establishment. The piece by reporter A.C. Thompson said that current and former Customs and Border Protection officials had been sharing racist and sexist memes on a Facebook page created for CBP officials. Members of the Facebook group made jokes about dead migrant children and even posted sexually violent imagery directed at Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. U.S. Border Patrol Chief Carla Provost said in a statement, "These posts are completely inappropriate and contrary to the honor and integrity I see and expect from our agents day in and day out. Any employees found to have violated our standards of conduct will be held accountable." Now, many are asking whether the Facebook group represents a fringe piece of an agency that employs tens of thousands of people or reveals something about the wider culture of Border Patrol. And this all comes at a moment when horrific conditions and treatment of migrants at the southern U.S. border continue to come to light. Joining me now is Jen Budd, former Border Patrol agent. Jen, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
What was your immediate reaction to the story about this secret Facebook group?
I'd have to say that I wasn't surprised at all. This is the typical way that the Border Patrol operates. It's normal everyday conduct for Border Patrol agents. It's been going on for decades. You know, they claim they're going to do something about it, but nobody really ever does.
Have you yourself had access to this Facebook group?
Oh, no. I would never belong to something like that.
So it sounds like from what you're saying that this is thousands of people have access to this group, that's basically it's not a few people, a few bad apples, if you will, in this group are saying offensive things, but that it essentially defines this group of thousands of people.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the numbers that they put up, they said that there was 9,500 people that belong to that group at any given time. They've got roughly around 19,000 plus agents. So, and, you know, I realize some of them may have been retired or whatever, but that's still a significant amount of people. And people often ask me when I was there, what percentage maybe I thought that the attitude was like that in the Border Patrol. And I'd say roughly a good 80%.
When did you start at Border Patrol yourself?
In 1995, under the Clinton administration, I had graduated from Auburn University with a degree in law and had decided I really didn't want to go to law school. So somebody told me that the Border Patrol was hiring. Being from Alabama, I never even heard of it, but it was a federal job and they offered to send me out to California. And I thought it sounded like a pretty neat adventure. And, you know, they said that basically I would be trying to stop drug smugglers and things like that. So it sounded like an adventure.
2 weeks ago, Jen, you wrote on your blog an open letter to your former colleagues in Border Patrol. Let me just quote a few lines from that now. "You are the enablers of a deportation force responsible for separating families, terrorizing communities, and responsible for enforcing policies that have killed thousands of people, including six children since November who died in U.S. custody. I mean, you didn't really sign up to put babies in cages and babysit them, am I right? You didn't really wake up one day and decide you thought sending people who were escaping violence and terror to concentration camps was a good thing, did you?" It sounds like you came from a very different perspective from the people who I guess you were working alongside with, weren't you?
You know, I think most people who join the Border Patrol do so with good intentions, and that's where that comes from, is I recognize that many of them were probably like me. And I've always just felt that if you stayed in, especially nowadays, knowing what's going on, I mean, I just don't know how they can do what they're doing. I'm sorry I'm at a loss for words, but it's just, I just don't understand how they can do this and not have any sympathy for these people when these people aren't even committing crimes. They're only seeking asylum.
So to what extent do people get socialized or desensitized to this kind of behavior you're referring to? Is it something that they come in with a certain attitude or is it something that slowly sort of takes root the more you work there?
I think nowadays it's two kinds of people, like you just said. There are some people that this is just fine with them, and they don't want specifically brown people coming into our country and changing the demographics. And I think that's because, you know, the Border Patrol has aligned itself through the union with these anti-immigrant hate groups that put out false statistics or misrepresent the statistics and try and claim that people of color are going to change American ideals and what America is all about. And so they're really tied in with them, and that's through the union. And that's a lot of the information that Border Patrol agents today hear when they read about immigration and stuff. But then there's also the other types that it does take a while to understand the system. And it takes a while, I think, like if you're coming from a place like I was that wasn't on the border, and you're fairly ignorant of, you know, the situations down here, it could take a good 2 or 3 years before you recognize how what you're doing and enforcing is actually affecting the community and people in real life, and how that happens.
How long did you stay in Border Patrol, and what caused you to finally leave?
I stayed in Border Patrol pretty much 6 years to the day, so I was in a little bit of the Bush administration. I left in June of 2001. I had been questioning my actions and what I was doing. I have a degree in law, and I had gotten into law enforcement to make a difference. And I didn't feel like I was making a difference. I felt like I was spending most of my time arresting families and people that were basically just coming here trying to find a job. It's not that I didn't think that, you know, we could just have an open border, but at the same time, it just, from a law enforcement perspective, nothing was changing. And it was just a constant revolving door. And the more I spoke to the people that I was arresting and learn their stories and such, I couldn't sit there and say that I wouldn't have been doing the same thing if I needed to feed my family or my children. And so I decided that if I was going to fight this, I wasn't going to do it from the inside anymore. And I left. And that's what finally, you know, I just realized I wasn't going to make a difference at all.
Now, Border Patrol is an agency that has a hard time recruiting. Turnover is high. It's also an agency with a very low percentage of women agents. Why do you think that is?
You know, that's an interesting question. And I had really hoped that when we had our first female chief, this would actually be addressed. I'm sad to say that she just repeats the same mantra that the Border Patrol puts out, is that, you know, it's a really dangerous job, and it's very difficult in hiking the terrain and it's in desolate areas. But that's actually not at all the truth. Women, you know, are just fine out there. I've met wonderful and excellent female agents, and I've met really bad male agents. So gender really has little to do with it. The truth is that from the time you're in the academy, the Border Patrol sets an attitude that women are different than men. When I was there, and they separated the men from the women the first day and told the men that the women didn't belong there and that they couldn't hack it and so forth. You know, like for me, I'm very open about it. I was sexually assaulted by a classmate and nothing happened to him, and everybody knew it. The evidence was from the bruising on my face and everything. And then I reported it, and they told me I couldn't report it to local law enforcement, that it had to be handled internally. And then they told me if I filed a complaint that they would have to do an investigation and my employment would have to stop. And I couldn't afford that at the time, and most women can't. And so you just kind of put up with it, and you just kind of move on. It's all the women on the Border Patrol know about it. The instructors often select female trainees who they want to have sex with. And if they don't have sex with them, then they'll fail them on their Spanish boards. That's very common. And I've talked to women who are still in service today that have quietly contacted me and just thanked me profusely because it's still happening today. It's the culture of the Border Patrol. And I was harassed my entire career there. It followed me my entire career, even though I did not do anything wrong. But the truth of the matter is these stories keep coming out and nothing has changed. And until we start holding Border Patrol agents accountable, nothing will change.
Jen Budd is a former Border Patrol agent. Jen, thank you so much for this, for all your time.
Thank you.
For more on how the culture inside Border Patrol is affecting migrants, we go now to someone who's closely followed the agency. Tina Vasquez is senior immigration reporter at Rewired.news. Tina, we're glad to have you back on the show.
Thank you for having me.
What have you found is the general attitude of Border Patrol agents to migrants who are seeking asylum?
As this has sort of been unfolding, I remember a few years ago reading this book called Migra by Kelly Hernandez, and it talks about Border Patrol's formation in the 20s and how it had this unique police function of distributing state violence in the pursuit of migration control. That's how she phrased it. And so I'm not surprised by what has been unfolding. I think it's just it's part of the root of what Border Patrol is and does. It decides who's illegal, who's legal, and that's still a conversation that the agency has. And I think that's dehumanizing. And I think the media has come to see that language is dehumanizing, but that's kind of just how Border Patrol has operated. And so when that's the framework and you see people as illegal and maybe not people, then it's not unfathomable that they would put them in squalid conditions or that people would maybe be forced to drink out of toilets. To me, it makes sense. And I wasn't surprised by what I saw this week, but I think it's really troubling.
Have you seen the culture of Border Patrol or their attitude towards migrants change at all from the Obama to the Trump administration?
Under Obama, what was being expressed a lot by Border Patrol agents and their union was that he was sort of hindering them from being able to do their job, which is an insane assertion because we've, you know, come to understand Obama's immigration record is not being a great one and for deporting a lot of people. So the idea that Obama was not letting them do their job, it was forcing them to catch and release, as they said, it didn't make any sense. But under Trump, certainly, like, the Border Patrol's union endorsed Trump. You know, that represents 16,000 active Border Patrol agents. And that was a really unprecedented step. They'd never before done that in their history. And I think the ProPublica reporting was really interesting, the timeline that was laid out. The group was formed in August 2016, just a few months before President Donald Trump was elected. I mean, I don't think that's a coincidence. So I think there's been a marked shift in that Border Patrol agents have always wanted to operate this way, but felt hindered or hampered by whoever the administration was or by the laws in place. But now we have a president who's willing to shift the policies in ways that are certainly unethical, often sometimes illegal. So I think that has been a shift, and it's very dangerous because it's killing people, literally.
What would it take to actually change the way Border Patrol and its agents operate?
That's a hard question. I can't envision Border Patrol operating another way. I mean, it's operated with these functions since it formed in the 1920s. It's very different than ICE, where ICE formed after 9/11. I mean, Border Patrol has, in a few years, will have been around almost 100 years, and this is the way that it's always operated, from this kind of dehumanizing framework. I don't know what overhauling Border Patrol would look like, because these issues are systemic. They're not entirely tied to Donald Trump. They're not new. This is just how the agency has operated.
Tina Vasquez is a senior immigration reporter at Rewire.news. Thank you so much for joining us today, Tina.
Thank you for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.